not about me busting your hump. It's about me giving you the tools and the courage to go out there and use the tools. You know, sure. You talked about courage before. I tell my students all the time, there are two traits of an effective teacher that we often do not see in textbooks, and that's humility and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to put your neck out and try.
That.
Yeah, you have Absolutely. To be able to put Amen. Your neck out and try. And I'm so grateful to people like Lauren who are willing to do that. And it validates for me that what I believe is what professionals in the field continue to value about a pre-service experience mm-hmm. because it cannot be theory. It has to be theory in practice more right. than anything, more than anything.
Did you fear you're going to break them? And I mean that and sincerely, if, you know, because there's so much you're asking them to do mm-hmm. in such a short period of time, that could be a real downer.
Absolutely. And it is for some. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The semester starts off, and we typically have an attrition of at least two or three students in the beginning of the semester because they just see that, you know what, they can't hack it.
So and it's Darwinian.
But that's valuable.
Wow. It is valuable because you don't want to get them all the way down. Well, this is what RVCC
– This I is see, what it's about.
What RVCC does in a I had the gentleman over here who was doing the career transitions thing. Same thing.
Yeah.
Figure it out before it's too late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And I tell them, you know, because I've had students who, despite the fact that they don't want to remain in education, they have an incredible rapport with me. You know, I have a really great rapport with my students, and I think Lauren will attest to that. And I have students literally will come to my office door with their tail between their legs like a dog and want to apologize to me. And I'm like looking at them and, what are you saying you're sorry to me for? I've done my job. I've given you the tools to make the decision as to whether or not this is where you want to go or where you don't. Cool. And I am so proud of you. Do not be shy or ashamed that you've decided to choose a path other than teaching.
And
yes.
And the reality is her class, as challenging as it may be, is not nearly as challenging as being an actual teacher.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it's like no, it's like slowly, I mean, your class, when I got to my next level, I was like, this is awesome. This is easy. And then I got student teaching. I was like, this is closer to that class, you know? Like, and the closer you get to being in control of these lives, all these 150 lives, it's a lot of pressure. And there's a lot of bureaucracy. And it's like, you got to be on top of your game.
Right.
And I appreciate Lauren saying what she just said about, you know, the how she went to her four-year school and she felt very, very, you know, very well prepared. I get unsolicited calls, emails, letters all the time from my students thanking me for pushing them because of that reason. I tell stories in class all the time. When I taught fourth grade, my fourth graders used to say, this is so hard, Miss Sook, this is so hard. And I used to say to them, it's hard now, but fifth grade is going to be easy. And then they would show up at my door with their backpacks on their back and say, you're so right. And I would look at them and say, right about what? Fifth grade is easy. And I said, exactly, I've done my job.
Right.
So I tell them the same thing. You know, if you leave me and you go off to your baccalaureate program and you feel successful and you feel empowered, and you feel like you have the proper skill set, I've done my job.
Can you feel the passion just oozing through the microphone? It's unbelievable. it's like it's just surrounding us, Kathy. It's
Thank
unbelievable.
You.
Tell me some of the. We have a few minutes before the next break. Tell me some of the social issues that came up. I mean, now I'm fascinated. We just talked about Lawrence. Uh-huh. What else did you guys come up with?
So I'll give you a
Three
couple
years.
Of highlights.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple of highlights. Third graders, when you ask them what they're passionate about, it's very much about them. Yes, it's very much about them, right? It's very egocentric.
Yeah.
But their egocentricity in regard to their love of blowing things up or building remote control cars or designing Pokemon cars, they did this, you know. And one group of girls designed a cosmetic company. They made lip gloss. They designed a logo. They designed packaging. And then they sold it at their school fair. And then the money that they raised, they donated to a charity. So yes, they follow their passion and they create something, but then they did give back. Then we had seventh graders at St. Matthias School in Somerset County that It was their seventh grade project. All 50 seventh graders had to come up with a project. They were broken into 10 groups of five. And the project that they completed in their seventh grade year, the project that they formulated, became their eighth grade community service project. It was their graduation project. So they spent the entire eighth grade year, and they're doing it now. Some things are a peer tutor program for the P through 7 students. Mm-hmm. Another is a generation...
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, the 16th of September. Can we believe half of the month of September is already past? Seems like it should be half of the month of July. In any event, I'll be talking to you about some of the legal issues. I'm Pat Smith's program, It's the Law. But before that, let's talk about the weather. It has been a gorgeous day outside. If you haven't had an opportunity to go outside, it was just beautiful. And tomorrow should be, again, another nice day. About 80 degrees, mostly sunny. Tonight would be mostly clear and about 50 degrees, so it should be good sleeping weather. Unfortunately, by tomorrow night, there is a slight chance of thunderstorms and then a chance of showers, about a 40% chance of showers. And then into Sunday, we have about a 50% chance of thunderstorms. So the day to get out there is tomorrow. And then again on Monday, there is a chance of showers. So the best day to get out and do whatever you want to do is Sunday. There is, as I said, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, but it's about a 50% chance. So, you know, looks like that's not going to be great Sunday night, the same thing. Maybe we'll miss it. Maybe we won't. Maybe it'll be spotty. But in any event, let's get out there tomorrow and enjoy the beautiful day. So we'll be back right after one spot, and I'll talk to you about what's happening in legal news.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer.
Well, we're back. Obviously, if anybody needs to lose a ton of weight, don't know whether that works or not, but not my favorite spot. More interested in some of our local business people. And in any event, we have to play it. But, so what's happening in the news? Well, if you're someone who wants a put up a digital billboard, looks like you're going to have no problems in the future. So as a form of communication, a digital billboard is subject to the protections afforded to speech. And that's very interesting. Because we know that speech is protected under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, as well as the New Jersey Constitution. So that this is a case where N and J Equities filed suit against the Board of Adjustment of Franklin Township. And this case went up to the Supreme Court of New Jersey, and their decision was that a digital billboard is, in fact, a form of protected speech. And to the extent that a municipality seeks to restrict billboards, the regulation must find support in the governmental interests that the municipality seeks to protect or advance. Now, although the township relied upon aesthetic and public safety concerns in banning digital billboards, it permitted static billboards in designated zones. And the record in this case failed to demonstrate that the ban furthers the governmental interests that the township asserted. And therefore, the ordinance ban on digital billboards was unconstitutional. So that, people have to be very careful about free speech. You can't say anything or do anything based on free speech. However, a municipality has to have some legitimate reason for that type of, if that's going to violate First Amendment. And certainly if they're allowing static billboards, it's very difficult for them to say that they can't or someone can't put up a digital billboard. So what else is happening? Well, that not a lot of cases usually at the beginning of the term. And what happens in September is that there are new assignments. The trial judges are often assigned to not new cases, but, for example, a judge who's sitting in the family part may be transferred to the civil or to criminal cases. So there's a lot of juggling that goes around at the beginning of September. And also with respect to the appellate division, there may be new panels, meaning that judges sit together in a panel and they may switch, and usually that's done in September. So what are our lawmakers doing? Well, one of the things is that they're taking a step towards making the state the first in the nation to bar the use of elephants in traveling circuses. Whatever your view is, not one of the most significant things that they perhaps could focus on. But that's the bill, and I'm sure it probably will be passed fairly easily because not many people are going to object. And how many traveling circuses are there that even come through New Jersey with elephants? Because many of the circuses now are no longer using elephants, and they're doing that voluntarily. A federal judge in Newark has granted final certification to a wage and hour collective action against Office Depot on behalf of all assistant store managers, claiming they were wrongfully denied overtime pay. And this is always very significant. If you're a business owner, who is a salaried employee and who is an hourly employee? Obviously, many stores would rather have their managers be salaried, because that way, if they end up working overtime, which many of them do consistently, they will not be paid for overtime work. So the other thing that we're faced with here is that there are two vacancies on our New Jersey on our state federal courts. And, obviously everybody is waiting now, for the elections. And the question is whether that will break the gridlock. So if Hillary Clinton is elected and succeeds President Barack Obama, the status quo, depending on the party in control of the U.S. Senate, is reinforced. If Donald Trump moves into the White House, basically all bets are off. So and that's because he's considered unpredictable. So, and certainly when it came to judiciary appointments, he would be. And interestingly, I wonder how much his sister would be involved in, not decisions, but in vetting possible federal judges, because Donald Trump's sister, Marianne Trump Berry, was a longtime federal judge here in New Jersey. Now, the in Michigan, there's an interesting challenge in a Michigan case, because apparently there are literacy rates in some portions of Michigan that are less than 10%. And because of a dearth of textbooks and other key educational materials, and overcrowding of classrooms, unsafe and unsanitary school conditions, apparently this is just a sampling of some of the jarring allegations in a class action suit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan. And this was this case was filed on behalf of students in five struggling, overwhelmingly minority Detroit schools. And this is truly a significant problem. And the it's really anybody who cares for children or have concerns for children has to be concerned about some of the inner city schools and the just the horrible conditions, the unsafe conditions, the overcrowded classrooms, unsanitary, lack of anything reasonable as far as textbooks or other materials. This was what happened in rural America, especially in the South, especially in schools, that were. Well, schools in the South were segregated, and certainly in the black schools, these children did not have any kind of or anything comparable to the students in the white schools. And even the students in the white schools had woefully inadequate textbooks and other materials. So it's a real concern. I mean, most people recognize that education is important. And when I say that, I don't mean that everyone has to go to college, but to give children, all children, a good basic education really is important. So the, and what is true, this is really true, no matter who said it, and whoever America elects this fall will help determine the future of the court for decades to come. And, I think this was Hillary Clinton that mentioned it in a speech. However, both candidates and everyone else would certainly concur when we take a look at the Supreme Court, the composition of the Supreme Court now. That could change drastically and will be significant for our grandchildren. Now, there was a civil rights case, and the court, the in this case, the appellate division reversed the verdict in a New Jersey Civil Rights Act action brought by the victim of a police shooting against a Camden police officer and the involuntary dismissal of the case against the city of Camden. And that was done on the basis of two critical evidentiary errors. And apparently, in the case, the trial court, over plaintiff's objection, permitted an assistant prosecutor who headed the homicide unit to testify that after reviewing the investigation of the shooting, he determined not to criminally prosecute the officer. Now, the obvious import of that testimony was that the prosecutor believed the officer's shooting of the plaintiff was a justifiable use of force. And the appellate division concluded that the assistant prosecutor's opinion was clearly inadmissible under the lay opinion rule. Now, that's interesting. We have in the New Jersey rule of evidence, there is a question about lay opinion, meaning not an expert witness, but someone who's a lay person. And so in this case, the appellate division said the jury could very well have ascribed almost determinative significance to that opinion, even though this prosecutor was, in fact, not testifying as an expert. And so, therefore, the appellate division said the error could not be considered harmless. And then a second trial court barred the plaintiff from making any reference to the officer's mental health records, reasoning that because excessive force claims are analyzed under the Fourth Amendment objective reasonableness standard, the officer's subjective state of mind was not relevant to whether his use of force was objectively reasonable under the circumstances. Now, apparently, the plaintiff never sought to use the records to challenge the officer's subjective motivation in firing on him. Instead, the plaintiff sought to use the records to challenge the officer's perceptions and his ability to make observations, a classic use of extrinsic evidence that is used to impugn a witness's credibility under our rules of evidence. So in any event, the appellate division concluded that interpreting objective reasonableness standard for evaluating excessive force claims really it precludes a cross-examiner from probing whether the officer's psychiatric symptoms affected his ability to accurately perceive the events growing and giving rise out of the claim. And they said that was error. And because the ruling severely prejudiced the plaintiff in his ability to prove his excessive force claim and basically gutted his claim against the city, the appellate division reversed and remanded for a new trial. They often remand for a new trial. But it does show that you have to be, you know, you have to do your job and you have to do it carefully. Meaning those of us who are attorneys have to. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit has reopened a... Did I say circus? Because we were talking about circus. I mean Third Circuit. Has reopened a suit challenging Jersey City's tax abatements to developers who agreed to use union labor. So in other words, you get a tax abatement in Jersey City, or you can get one, for using union labor. Now there was, there's some antitrust cases. There was a new lawsuit against Samsung Electronic Company alleging that the device maker had problems with exploding smartphone batteries even before the recent recall, and leaving at least, leaving behind a number of people. Now, the Uber Technologies is urging a California judge to reject National Labor Relations Board subpoena that seeks nationwide information about the ride-sharing company's relationships with its drivers. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take just a short break, let you some of the sponsors of the program, and then I'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com.
mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
We're back. The program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits. Sorry, I have somewhat of a cold today, so I'm probably really sounding hoarse, which I am. But I came across a case that, you know, I had to think twice about it because the family part, that is the family part handles divorce, child custody, almost all issues related to families. But in any event, this was an appeal from a woman who was awarded sole legal and residential custody of her three children. Well, why in the world would she file an appeal? I mean, you know, she got everything that most parents, if they're involved in any kind of divorce litigation, would want. Well, let's break it down a bit because you'll see why, in fact, she had to go back to court. The three children were non-citizen children. They had entered the country without proper documentation, so undocumented. Probably not even workers, undocumented children, and, the old days we just said they were illegals. But in any event, undocumented children. So, and the reason she filed the appeal was because the trial court failed to incorporate into the orders the predicate findings necessary for a non-citizen child to apply for special immigration juvenile status. Now, there is, in fact, a statute. The statute is 8 U.S.C.A. Section 1101, paren A.N., paren 27, paren J., paren. Now, the trial judge, of course, would have to make findings of fact, and in this case, the appellate panel found that the judge had made findings as to all three children, but simply failed to incorporate those findings into the orders. So also, what the court said is the plaintiff could apply for SSI, an appropriate order reflecting the findings and the predicate findings required by the statute. Well, and so that's, well, no, there are many more cases, but I had not found anything that was particularly, I guess we call in the trade, kind of sexy. In other words, something that would stand out as real precedent and also be something that every attorney wants to grab because they may use this in their practice. So the Third Circuit clarified the term vulnerable victim, and as that is defined in a tax fraud case. And what the court did is they upheld the sentence of a tax preparation service owner. And the owner had encouraged customers to claim false dependence. And this was considered a vulnerable victims or... So... And then, of course, there... people who are going through divorce should be aware of this case. It was approved for publication on the 12th of September. And it really is significant because it addressed what happens when people are saving money during a marriage. And they had to calculate alimony where the parties relied on only a fraction of their household income to pay their monthly expenses. And that they regularly save the balance during the course of the marriage. So the question is, what happened? Let's say this husband had all of the savings that he, was able to put aside, and now comes divorce. Should that be subject to equitable distribution? And often it's put aside in the parent's name, and the spouse simply says, well, look, now I have what I need. Now I have all of the money, but it's not subject to equitable distribution. So that becomes the fight. And as far as the fight, I know there was somebody on our... somebody I wanted to play. I don't know if this is it. Probably not. But let's see.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Over the next 10 years, our economic team estimates that under our plan, the economy will average 3.5% growth and create a total of 25 million new jobs.
Donald Trump talking about his economic policies on the campaign trail. Trump earlier today said President Obama was born in America amid allegations from the Clinton campaign that Trump continued to believe he was not born in America. President Obama is campaigning for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, one of the items he said is key to his remaining time as president.
After a lot of negotiations, we've got what is the most progressive, effective trade deal that we've ever seen.
Three news organizations suing the FBI over a terrorist iPhone hack. The lawsuit seeking to find out who the government paid to get into the phone of the terrorist in San Bernardino and how much money was spent. USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies, and rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, for a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, it's $1 million of coverage at $75 per month, level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At Term Busters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 866-713-5330. That's 866-713-5330. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Term Busters at 866-713-5330. That's 866-713-5330. Remember, 866-713-5330. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes for preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
Okay, I'm back. It's Pat Smits, and I'm talking about some of the issues and cases that have been in the news recently. And one of the things the New Jersey, the appellate court held that an employment contract provision limiting a worker's right to sue a third party is contrary to public policy. Whenever you see that contrary to public policy, unless it's kind of in the middle of a clump with a thousand feet around it, I would say. Don't ever trust it. You can't trust what's happening as far as these issues when it comes to holding that. You can't trust. I guess I need to say that. You can't trust that some of these contracts that prevent workers from doing what would normally be reasonable, such as the First Amendment, such as speech under the First Amendment, you can't think that that's going to be upheld. And that's what happened in this contract where they tried to limit their workers' rights to sue third parties. Now, what's happening with that Uber deal? Remember, a few months ago, it looked like Uber Technologies, Inc. might be able to shut down a massive class action suit on behalf of California and Massachusetts drivers for the reasonable price, what they considered a reasonable price of $84 million. And, of course, that's reasonable by the standards of a company valued by some measures at more than $60 billion. I mean, can you imagine a company that, you know, no one ever heard of 10 years ago might be worth $60 billion? I guess everybody wants to have that inspiration and that idea, but it doesn't usually happen. In fact, that's one of the reasons why entrepreneurs, you know, when they hit it, they do well, and frankly, they should do well. Now, there's a Bergen County judge took on the legal question of whether a defendant was goaded into seeking a mistrial, albeit unsuccessfully, and whether or not could then avoid re-prosecution after obtaining reversal on appeal. So the decision itself was more striking for its criticisms of a prosecutor's trial strategy. But this was taken on by the legal question, the highest legal authority in, well, certainly in that county and surrounding counties. Now, the there was also Prudential entered a big settlement, paid $33 million to a class action on behalf of the shareholders who claimed the company misstated its financial condition by failing to fully account for liabilities owed to beneficiaries of policyholders. So that's, I'm kind of bringing you up to date on some of these cases because I have not been here the last few weeks. In this case, an appellate court said that the state had the right to seize $800,000 from a sports pool operator. And the appeal court upheld the trial court, and the appellate court had upheld the trial judge's discretion to allow prosecutors to serve more. To seize more than $80 million from a Monmouth County man who operated a long-term sports betting evidence of that. So, long-term sports betting. And rejecting the appeal of a child molester. Now, this is a court in Philadelphia, and the Third Circuit sets the standard. So what else is happening as far as, before I turn to that, let's see who else we need to bring you up to date as for sponsors here.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we...
powwow. It's the first official powwow ever been held at Raritan Community College on April 8th for groups and April 9th.
I guess I have started out and have been talking for the last few minutes without having my microphone on. I know it's been a long day. I'm very tired and have no idea how much I just went through without anybody hearing me, but suddenly it woke me up when something else came on. So in any event, I will keep going here for a few more minutes until we get the sports guys on. I was talking about a forfeiture case, and that was the civil forfeiture action. There was a seizure of $846,000, apparently over $700,000 of which represented entry fees to participate in sports pools. And the claimant admitted operating sports pools for about 20 years, but denied that they were illegal. Now, the New Jersey Constitution prohibits the legislature from authorizing gambling except through referendum and several exceptions established by the Constitution. So that's why, by the way, there's not a casino on every corner. And in this case, the appellate division concluded that the state met its burden to show by a preponderance of the evidence that there was a direct causal connection between the money seized and the promotion of gambling. And two, that the promotion of gambling involved constituted an indictable offense under the criminal statute, and therefore they rejected the argument that the court failed to allocate the funds seized between illegal and legal purposes. And the appellate division noted that the claimant failed to present sufficient credible evidence in response to the state's motion for summary judgment. And also the court rejected the claimant's arguments that entry fees had been upheld in the debt. I'm sorry, upheld and deposited into the joint accounts held by the claimant and were part of the funds seized. So that was the issue with the entry fees. They were not segregated. They were not kept separate. So the court said they're in the pot. And so that was not going to get around the fact that they were considered in violation of the laws, and that the criminal forfeiture did not go far enough because it did not, in fact, deal with all of the issues. Excuse me.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started.
Well, we're not going to hear the news right now, so we'll wait for a few more minutes to hear about that. But I do want to play a couple more spots so we can get through all of them.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on Hunterdon Chamber Radio www.thefamilyplanner.com.
Well, here's one of these cases that, although it was not published, I think has some interest, and certainly to people who have children in schools. Now, in this case, Mr. Fenz was a teacher, a male teacher, employed in the Montville Township Public Schools, and he was a tenured first-grade teacher. And so he had received a number of warnings from his superiors regarding what they considered inappropriate physical conduct with female students. Now remember, these are first graders, or at least he teaches for first grade. Whether the students were all first graders, it doesn't indicate in the case. So actually, Montville withheld a salary increment and made three referrals to the Division of Youth and Family Services, now DCP&P, about his inappropriate conduct. And so the division investigated and found that the allegations of child abuse were unfounded and then closed the case. Montville then suspended Fenz and began an investigation during which it received new reports about Fenz inappropriate physical contact with female students. And so what happened is the school district and Fenz entered into an agreement under which he resigned, and Montville agreed to provide only dates of employment to future potential employers. And this is always interesting because it's very frustrating when you're trying to find out what you can about a prospective employee. Obviously, you're not even thinking the lines of sexual abuse, but the employee was able to pretty much stonewall anything that you would have asked. So this is that case. So Child M v. Fenz, New Jersey, is not that significant as far as time. But in what happened in this case, which is interesting, well, I think it's important to know, is that then the Fenz went on to interview in other schools, and in fact, he was hired by Cedar Hill, and then the owner of the Cedar Hill school had contacted Montville only to verify employment dates and never asked for any other information. So he was hired, and he was subsequently indicted for sexually abusing a child who had been a student, at Cedar Hill. And so thereafter, they filed this action, and Montville filed a motion for summary judgment. In other words, saying that they should not be named defendants and it should go away. So the panel, the appellate division, found that Montville had a duty pursuant to the statute to report the They had a duty to their students, meaning that Montville had a duty pursuant to the statute to report the new information it obtained after Fenn's suspension to the division. In other words, they were obligated to produce this information to the desert. The appellate panel also found that although Montville's breach of those duties did not constitute circumstances here,
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, back a couple more minutes for It's the Law, trying to find something that might be of interest, and so everybody else is not falling asleep the way I am this afternoon. Sometimes Fridays are tough. There's a criminal appeal that it raised an issue and considered whether or not the defendant who received a second extended term sentence for a crime he committed while on bail awaiting trial on the first offense, which he received his first extended term sentence, and was he in custody within the meaning of the statute. So that's what we're getting to argue here. But the real issue, of course, is that, you know, these people who are coming out, they're committing crimes when they're either waiting trial or, you know, they're not in jail for some reason or another. So that is a real problem. And of course, it's a real problem putting too many people in jail and, you know, all of the problems behind that. But in any event, we also have the circuit orders in the Bridgegate co-conspirator case are going to be remain sealed. That's the list of unindicted co-conspirators. Excuse me, let me do that again. The list of unindicted co-conspirators from the Bridgegate scandal is not subject to any public right of access, and that was decided by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. In other words, the newspapers were trying to find out who were the unindicted co-conspirators, and the court said, yes, you have the right to go to where it's stored and get a subpoena the information or whatever. But the court said that that's not going to happen, that the list is going to remain confidential, and probably based, I haven't read the whole decision, but probably based on the fact that it would be unduly prejudicial just to be on the list when there's no evidence that you really did anything wrong. Let's see. Well, we're hearing about alleged ignition switches. Well, we also heard about faulty ignition switches. Seems like, you know, things are sounding a little shoddy these days, at least as far as some manufacturers. Now, let's see what else we have here. And as I said, you'd think there would be a lot more because I haven't been here for a few weeks. One of the things that is in the news is that rather than quelling the turmoil at Fox News, Roger Ailes reported $20 million settlement of a sexual harassment suit by a former anchor could prompt more and more litigation by women employees of the company. Well, other than a few people, certainly Bill Courtney here in Flemington, but other than a few people, you know, we don't have that many cases being reported out of Hunterdon County. It can be good and bad. I mean, good thing is that there aren't very many people who would qualify for these benefits, and employment is pretty good here, and certain other reasons. I mean, one of the things, certainly other reasons. So I think that is probably about the end of this. I'm going to shift over to the news. Plan on seeing you next week. Hopefully one of these weeks I'll have a guest, so it will be a little more exciting. And certainly feel free to call me, contact me, if there are subjects that you want to hear about, and then I'll arrange guests, lawyers, who in fact can, not answer your questions directly, but answer them indirectly, meaning that we don't take calls on this show